cleaned up the monastery, y'all remember that? Those of you who were there? It was, wasn't it special, Carol? And what it was.
It snowed.
And it also snowed, yes. So blessed. But we're blessed to be together as we are today. And thank you, Fiona, for that song.
Yes, let's do it a second time.
Yes. You may have heard me singing along.
Not if they have to concentrate.
Of course you were concentrating. Let's talk about the resurrection. Last week's readings started out in chapter 15, where Paul says that he handed over to the Corinthians the most important thing he had learned when he was a new disciple. That Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. When did he learn that? Archaeological evidence, I've been told, suggests that this letter to the Corinthians was written around 55. And so that would be about 20 years after Paul's conversion. So he had been taught that the very first apostles and disciples interpreted their Hebrew scriptures around this event of Christ not only dying on the cross, but also being raised again according to the scriptures, the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy. So then he goes on, well, how can any of you say, some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? And he goes on to say, well, if there's no resurrection, then Christ hasn't been raised. And he makes the point that if Christ hasn't been raised, then there's essentially nothing to our religion, to our faith, to our belief. And your loved ones are totally lost forever, and your faith is null and void. And we of all people who proclaim this to you are mostly to be pitied because we are carrying on with this stuff that's false, even though we believe. And it ends Christ, that Christ has been raised from the dead. That's a fact. Back a little bit into the scripture, and you have this essentially argument, but a little bit back. How can you say there's no resurrection? There's no resurrection in Christ and it's not been raised. The fact is that Paul, as he says in another letter, was a Pharisee, belonged to the Pharisee party. They believed in angels, the resurrection of the day, in the last day, they believed in the end of the world. And the other sects or currents of Judaism in those days, including the Sadducees, who were the people who believed in the temple worship as the center of life, didn't believe these things. So Paul says elsewhere he's a Pharisee, but so is Jesus, in the sense of having the same beliefs, expressing the same thing, the last day, the resurrection of the dead. So that's how it's turned backwards. How can you say there's no resurrection? And therefore, Christ is not the Lord. Should be back, should be the other way around. Christ has been raised, therefore there is the resurrection of the dead. But what is it to be raised from the dead? In my later sermon in Mons, in French, I'm going to have to explain that there's a difference between the resuscitated, the hosticitated, and the resurrection, that resurrection. But in English, we can use resurrect as a verb. What does it mean? And the very first apostles wondered that too, which is why they searched their scriptures to find out what did this mean? Jesus Christ died on the cross. They were stunned. They were amazed. This wasn't how it was supposed to end. It was supposed to end with how they imagined. In other words, when they tried to crucify Jesus, the angels would come down. So, what happened to Jesus? If you take all the Gospels that we have, four original Gospels, they're well constructed. They have a point. Matthew is speaking to Jewish Christians. Mark is transcribing the memories of Peter. Luke is creating history for somebody named Theophilus. The first scroll is the Gospel of Luke that we read from. The second scroll is the Acts of the Apostles. And then you have John, who gives a thoroughly theological interpretation of who Jesus is. And as I said, these are well constructed, clear. They have a name until they get into the resurrection stories. And then they basically go berserk. Because they're telling the stories that they knew had been handed down, but there's no way to fit them into those narratives in a smooth way. Consider the Gospel of Mark just really quickly. How does it end? They were afraid. The women come to the tomb, they meet the angel with the young man in white, and he says, he's not here, he's been raised. And they run away, for they were afraid. What kind of ending is that? And so forth and so on. So they met something that they didn't understand. They knew it was Jesus, and yet something else. So when Paul is saying that if this doesn't happen, there is nothing to our faith, then I think we better have at least something to understand what the resurrection is. It is not that his spirit went on and his body rotted away. That doesn't work. And it isn't also the other kind of fantasy where, you know, he wakes up and kicks the stone aside, and he stomps out and looks at the guards and goes, "What?" That's too now. You know, it's too in this world. And I think the key is, Paul says in the second letter, that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And I think the way that we can understand a resurrection is that Jesus' dead, cold, bloody corpse was laid in the tomb, and it was a new creation. Out of the old came something new, something that had never been seen before, that was already the beginning of the end of this old creation and the start of the new. And so, if you look at it this way, if we really can't understand, we lose mind in the old creation, what this new creation is completely, but we have an inkling because they saw Jesus and they recognized him. And yet, he was also dead. He couldn't die anymore. Beyond that, I don't know. I can't explain it to you. The people who met Jesus risen from the dead can't explain it to us. They just said it in the scriptures, and it's meant to be, and that's what we believe. And here's the real point of the resurrection. It's not about curious people who like to wander through churchyard will look at this and they'll say, who's he? And everything that I've done in this life will be dust. It doesn't matter, because you see, I'm already rising from the dead. And that stone can't hold me down any more than it can hold you down. We are rising now, or we're not rising at all. The difference is that we no longer see this life solely in its own terms. It's not about power. It's not about making your mark. It's not about security. It's all about beauty. It's not about wealth or all the other things that we chase after, like we chase for men. It's about being like Jesus now. Not dead on the cross, but alive and reaching out to share this new creation, this new life with the world. Not only the human race, the whole creation falls in. We're all for the revealing of the children of God. That's you and me. The resurrection that we have been promised and that is already started within us is what